What a great day, huh? To be at Tennessee Bible College. I want to just say amen and shut up because we've had Brother R.C. and Brother Randall Matheny, these men who love the Lord, who love the work of the church, just encourages all of us. What tremendous. Thank you, brothers, for the messages. R.C., I don't know how long I've known R.C., but a day or two. And I think I was holding a meeting, I think it was at Quebec. And I don't know at that point how long he'd been with the Tennessee Highway Patrol, but I said to R.C., I said, you know, I have a problem with the Tennessee Highway Patrol. It seemed like they like to talk to me every now and then, and I don't know how many. And he said, I think I can help you with that. I don't know if it was the next night, but during the meeting, he came back and he said, I've got something that's going to help you with the Tennessee Highway Patrol. And he gave me a miniature Tennessee Highway Patrol card. He said, put that on your dash and you won't have a problem. I did, but it didn't work. I mean, it's but I love Brother R.C. He's been a great, faithful Christian. And to hear about this work in Brazil, boy, that is exciting. Now, I've never been there, and I don't know what has happened to this brother who went to Recife. Are you from Recife, that area? Is that correct? Who is it that was? Did you mention someone here? Well, they were somewhere from Recife. But back in late 1960s and early 70s, I was preaching for the Allen Park Church in Allen Park, Michigan. And a young man there went to Recife, Brazil as a missionary. I don't know what has happened to him over the years. But there's just so many memories. Brother Jason, I love and appreciate the work which he does. Brother Glenn, I have a picture somewhere of you and Sister Judy and Janet and myself and Paul and Sandra Killam. I don't know where we were going or what we were doing, but, you know, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever fill your soul. And to hear the great works that our brothers are doing is certainly an encouragement to me. I have, David, I think, David, your cousin, I don't know, she was working in Nashville. Now, folks, you got to remember this. My name is Acuff. And, you know, it used to be, now you don't hear this much anymore. I'm going to preach. I just got to work up courage. But what's taking place? You know, people used to ask me, are you kin to Roy Acuff? You know, and so I remember was holding a meeting over in Warren County, and there was this lady, I was shaking hands, they were going out, and this lady said, are you kin to Roy Acuff? I said, yes, ma'am, I am, but I can't sing. She said, well, he couldn't either. So, but your cousin, now let me tell you, my name being Acuff, the only thing it ever did for me, got me a room at the Opryland Hotel about the first year it was open. I went, Janet and I, we lived in Michigan, traveling through, went by there. And so I said, boy, this is nice. I went up to the counter and I said, my wife and I would like to spend the night here. And she kind of laughed at me. She said, I'm sorry, but we don't have any rooms. And I said, well, you will, 6 o'clock. You know, it used to be 6 o'clock when people would cancel out. So I said, I'm going to sit down right over here, and I'm going to wait 6 o'clock. You'll have a room. She said, sir, that doesn't happen here. If you want to sit there, that's up to you. But she said, don't happen here. I said, well, I'm going to sit down over there, and when you have a room, you let me know. She said, well, what is your name? I said, my name's Larry Acuff. She said, wait just a minute. I got a room that night, folks. She went. But, you know, I just think about the great blessings of being a part of the kingdom of God, don't you? And to being able to know and to hear people and to be a part of the lives of individuals. There's a clock back up there, and I'm glad you can't turn around and look at it. But I thought about this lady. She came in the church every Sunday. Every Sunday she come in. She would sit down, and about 15 minutes into the preacher's sermon, she'd look, Brother Carey, she'd look at her clock. Then she'd kind of tap on it, you know. Then she'd put it up to her ear. Then she'd turn around, you know, and look. Well, it agitated the preacher. So he went to the elders and he told them what was going on. They said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. So what they did is they took the clock down and they put up a picture of the preacher. Sure enough, next Sunday she came in. 15 minutes into the sermon, you know, she's hitting them on the watch, putting it up to her ear. She turned around. She did a double take. She said, I will declare they've taken down time and put up eternity. So, you know, renewing. What a great theme this is. You know, when you and I think about the time, understanding the time, in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 3, our Lord said, you can look at the sky and you can see the sun. You understand the sky, but you don't understand the time. Then you and I, the time of this ignorance, Acts 17, 30 and 31. The Bible said the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. For he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained and given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You and I can go to the book of Ephesians, and the Bible says to you and I, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I, as we look at that today, that certainly we understand that concept, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I think the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, and in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, you know, he uses the term, he says, in latter times, men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then when he writes to him in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible tells us that he talks about perilous times. There's going to be perilous times. So when you and I study the Holy Bible, and you know we see this when in Hebrews chapter number 4, the Bible says when by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. You have someone that teach you again, the need to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul when he writes again to the young preacher Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now listen to what he said. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Have we not experienced that, ladies and gentlemen, today? Because men who have closed their ears to truth. And so when you and I again look, but when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again. I remember hearing an illustration. Brother Mid McKnight years ago, I heard him tell this. Brother Carey, we need to preach hard sermon, you know, what we call. And the preacher had preached a hard sermon. This lady came up, she said, oh, Brother McKnight, you oughtn't to be so hard on those babes in Christ. He said, how long have you been in the church? She said, 30 years. He said, that's a long time to be a baby. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a long time to be a baby. So when you and I are redeeming the time, when you and I look at when by reason of time, when you and I look at understanding the time, the time, it's high time. You ever seen that phrase in the Bible? It's high time that you and I understand what the Bible teaches us. Now, I don't have to tell, this is a great audience, and those of you, I know you love the truth, and you love the church, and you love the Bible. But I think so much, you know, when we look at the Great Commission, and our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16, 15. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. So when you and I understand the time, you and I need to understand, and Brother Matheny, boy, he really brought this out to us, and that is taking the Word of God and planting it into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and motivating them to do the will of God. That's what we are endeavoring to do. So today, as we look at this concept, understanding the time, I have three things. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the times through the eyes of faith. Now think about this. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 says. The Bible says, now then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which are seen were not made of the things which we see. It's different. By faith Abel, the Bible said, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But he had this, before that translation, he had this, that he pleased God. And so then, in verse number 6, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want you to see this, because when we look at the world, and it was mentioned earlier in Genesis chapter number 6, the Bible says that Noah was a righteous man. The Bible says that wickedness was upon the face of the earth, that every imagination and the thought of their heart was only evil continually. Now, here's what we're looking at. You and I can understand what our world needs when we understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to have the faith that existed in the heart of a man by the name of Noah. If you look at the world through his eyes, look at the world through his eyes. Now, verse 7 says, of 11, or Hebrews 11, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness by faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to look at this. Because what we are understanding today, and that is we're looking at understanding the times. The Bible says by faith, now watch this, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark. In that one phrase, we see three things that all of us are involved in. You and I operate on intellect, emotion, and will. Now watch this. The Bible says, by faith, Noah being warned of God. That's intellect. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you and I read the Holy Scriptures, if you go to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. These men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which you read in Acts chapter 2. What took place? He preached unto them, Jesus of Nazareth. Now when he did, what was it about intellect? But now watch this. There was emotion involved in that. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Again, see Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God, intellect, moved with fear, emotion, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, you look at this. There are some individuals who have this, just all intellect. Now, look, let me tell you something, folks. There are individuals, Muslims as well as denominational preachers, and they know the Bible. They might not do it, but they know it. You talk about intellect. If just intellect did it, then would they not be saved? Well, that doesn't work. So watch this. Noah, being warned of God, that's intellect, moved with fear, that's emotion. Have you ever moved with fear? I'm scared to death of snakes. Tim, I'm telling you, Jett and I were living in Sparta. We had this convenience store down there. If you want to go broke, see me. I can tell you how to go broke. We had this convenience store. I'd get up in the morning, and I never was an early morning guy, but I had to get up early in the morning, go down and open that store at 6 o'clock. Janet would make biscuits, and I'd go down there and open the store. I'd been down there about 15 minutes. I opened it at 6 o'clock, been down there about 15 minutes, and the phone rings. She said, "Larry, you got to come home." I said, "Why?" She said, "There's a snake on the stove." I said, "Janet, go get Joe's." He lived back there. "Go get Joe." She said, "Larry, Joe's gone to the mill." I said, "Well, okay." So I locked the door of the store, and I came up to the house, and I got me a hammer and a shovel. I had one in both. But I couldn't get my keys. I had lost my keys. So Janet, I said, "Now you watch that thing. Don't you? You're so I don't know where it's gone." Emotion going, let me tell you. And so she finally let me in. By that time, that snake had crawled off the stove and had wrapped it. You have these grease buckets, ladies. You know what I'm talking about? I have a grease bucket there, you know. It had wrapped itself around that. Oh, it was about that long, but it wrapped itself around this grease bucket. Let me tell you something. I attacked that grease bucket like you wouldn't believe. I planned it. Janet said, "Larry, look what you did to the cabinet." I said, "I don't care." Emotion. Now watch this. David, I learned what I'm going to tell you from your dad. I learned this from your dad. Janet and I were in a thrift store. And let me tell you, you can find all sorts of things in a thrift store. Clothing, you know. I had 50 sport coats. And because there was a thrift store in Atlanta, and if you would go there on Wednesday, every item of clothing was a dollar. I'd take the church van and the women, we'd load up and then we'd go down. And I had these sport coats. So, you know, you think about, so we were in a thrift store because, I might get another sport coat, so we're there. But see, here's the problem. In thrift stores, they only have about 3 or 4 racks for men, 400 for women. So it didn't take me about 30 seconds. I saw there wasn't anything I wanted. So I'm just standing. I'm standing back over here. And this gentleman comes up and stands by me. He gets talking Bible. And he said to me, "The Holy Spirit told me so-and-so." Now, this is what I'd heard from Brother Malcolm Hill. This is where I learned this. I said to him, "The Holy Spirit told me he didn't tell you that." He just kind of wandered off. Emotion, see. Now, watch this, ladies and gentlemen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, that's intellect, moved with fear, that is, and you look at it, there's emotion in Acts chapter number 2. They were pricked in their heart. You go to Acts chapter number 8 and you read about the man going from Ethiopia, been up there, been to Jerusalem and going back to Ethiopia. The Ethiopian eunuch, And he was reading. What was he doing? He was reading at the same scripture. The Bible said, and Philip preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And he said, see, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down. The water both filled the eunuch, and they baptized him. So what do we read? Intellect. Emotion. Now watch this. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now watch this. And prepared an ark. There's the will. Did you ever have a problem with your will, emotion, and intellect? I do. I do, really. In the mornings. In the morning. Clock goes off. My intellect says, hey, Cuff, you better get out of bed. My emotion says, you got to be crazy. The bed is warm, and I'm going to stay here. Will says, I'm getting up. You guys can lay here if you want to, but I'm going to go make coffee. So when you and I look again, ladies and gentlemen, at understanding the times, and we see Noah, the Bible said, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. So his faith involved the whole man. You can find lots of folks, ladies and gentlemen, in our world, in our society today, and they have the emotion. They'll shout. They'll jump up and down. Well, years ago, y'all remember, there was a guy by the name of Wendy Bagwell. Did you ever hear him? Ever hear that song he sang about? They sung in a church one time, and he said they take up the serpents. They did. I mean, he made a record of this, and he said, we were singing this church. And he said, we got on the stage, and we noticed these boxes over here. And after a while, he said, they got to dancing and got, see, emotion. But now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. You and I must know the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. When you and I recognize that when we hear that Word, it touches our hearts, and then it motivates us. So in Hebrews 11, verse 7, Noah's faith involved the whole man. But now, not only that, but watch it also included his whole family. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So it included his whole family. It indicted the whole world, by which the Bible says he condemned the world and he inherited the full reward. Condemned the world and inherited. Why? Because of his faith, ladies and gentlemen. If we're going to understand the times, we're going to have to look at our times, and we see the wickedness. Again, you're wondering if we're not living in the days of Noah. The wickedness is great. And so when you and I read Hebrews chapter number 11, and we see by faith Noah being warned of us, so therefore you and I must, we understand the world through the eyes of faith. Let me give you a second thing. I believe we understand the world through the evidence of truth. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John number 14, you remember that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is the truth of God. We understand the times. When, ladies and gentlemen, the evidence of truth in the Bible. Now, let me be a little more specific with that. go with me to Matthew chapter. If you have a Bible, maybe you want to turn over there. Go to Matthew chapter number 7. And in Matthew chapter number 7, you remember in verse number 13, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be therein that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now look at verse number 15 also. "Beware false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly," the Bible said, "they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by the," you're gonna recognize. "Now, do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles?" Now, what he's saying in those next few verses, when you, for an example, go down there to verse, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." A good tree can. So what are we saying, ladies and gentlemen? We must look at, now I want you to see this. You and I have to make a decision. Now watch this. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You and I have to make the decision, am I going to follow the Holy Bible or the teachings of men? You have to make a decision on that. Because false doctrine, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I think about Galatians, chapter number 1, and he talks about these verses. If you start about verse 6 and go down to about verse number 10, he talks about false doctrine. He talks in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, he speaks of it again in that great book. You and I, am I going to stick, and Brother Matheny brought this out wonderfully. Am I going to stick with this, or am I going to listen to man? What's it going to be? If you remember, you go back to the Genesis. Adam listened to his wife rather than God. She ate of that tree, and she went to her husband, and he did eat. So you and I have to make a decision. Now, I want you to see something else, Matthew chapter 7, and that is not only that, you have to see the danger, ladies and gentlemen. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." Do you ever want to pull somebody's hair out? For some, you don't have to worry about, but at any rate. Maybe this is just a pet peeve of mine, but it's aggravating to me when some member comes to me and they say, "Brother Acuff, I've been watching Joel Osteen." Well, bless your heart. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Well, I've been, now they have a good point. Hey, listen. Snake skins can be used to do a lot of good things. I'm going to kill everyone I see. Beware. Because you know what? They're false prophets. See, what they do is they get you all excited about something, and then whew, it's gone. They're going to plug a false doctrine into your mind. And when you get up on Sunday to preach, and you take the Word of God, and you preach the Word of God, and you preach 30 minutes instead of 15. Well, I guess that's... Beware of false prophets. You have to make a decision. You have to watch the danger, because there's deception in this. Now look at our lesson today. Understanding the times through evidence of truth. Men are deceived when they are led away, ladies and gentlemen, from the truth. Damnation occurs. So when you and I look, and we look at understanding the times, we understand the times through the eyes of faith. We understand the times through the evidence of truth. And number three, we understand the times through the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. In Colossians chapter number 3, the Bible tells us, Colossians 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Ladies and gentlemen, that's powerful stuff. If you then be risen, I don't have time today, and this would be for another lesson. But listen, there are those individuals who have the idea that, well, I prayed, dear God, I pray that you forgive me of my sins. Hey, listen, folks. The Bible says you must be risen with Christ. How are you going to do that? Well, it's simple. Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, living longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you then be risen with Christ. Now, when you look at this, we've got to be risen with him. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. We've got to follow his authority. And then the Bible says, when Christ shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. I was invited one time to speak, to give the introduction. Don't take this anything other than just an illustration. But I was invited to do the opening devotional for this Georgia State Legislature. Now, the guy who was the head of the Speaker of the House, Tom Murphy is his name. Tom Murphy was from, I was the preacher at Bremen, Georgia, and he was from our county. And he invited me. Man, that was nice. All these dudes out there, you know. I get up and speak. When it was over, I did not know this, but there were several members of the Church of Christ. And you know what they did? They came down front. I come off after we got through, and they said, we want to have our picture made with you. And here I am, man. I'm standing up there, you know, all these representatives, you know. Let me tell you something. That didn't mean a thing. I was holding a meeting in Jackson County. And there's a brother over there, was a gospel preacher. Called me one day and he said, you want to have lunch? I said, yeah, let's have lunch together. Dwayne Chaffin, I believe it was Dwayne. So he called me back and he said, Larry, would it be all right? He said, Wayne Wells at that time was preaching in Gainesville. He said, would it be all right if I invited Wayne to come? And I said, whatever, that's fine. Well, when they came to the restaurant, he came and Wayne Wells brought his son, whose name was Scott Wells. Now, that might not mean a thing in the world to you, but Scott had just been, signed by the Green Bay Packers as their center. So we had lunch. So after lunch, I said, Scott, do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions? I said, you might not want to answer them, but do you mind? He said, no. I said, how much you make? He said, $235,000. Oh, I said, well, do you have an agent? He said, yeah. I said, how much do you pay your agent? He said, I pay him 5%. But after it was over, now watch this, after it was over, I said, I want my picture made with you because someday you're going to be important. And he was. they won the Super Bowl, and there was the picture of him holding up that trophy. At that time, he made $235,000. At the time he held the trophy up, he was making $1.6 million. I had my picture made. So, you know, you think about this. I had my picture made at the Georgia legislature. I had my picture made with Scott Wells. I had my picture made with this guy, and I forgot his name. He wrote these books, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Y'all remember? And we were on a trip together, and here's what he said. He said, anybody that I hug is a friend of mine. He hugged me. I didn't wash my clothes for a while. I had my picture made. Now, I want you to watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Whether it be the Georgia State Legislature, whether it be Scott Wells, or an author who has sold 11 million copies of his book, means absolutely nothing when Christ shall appear unless I appear with him in glory. That's what it means. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, in that we've got the word seek. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above. Sanctify your dead. Set apart Christ in your life. When you and I look at this verse in Chronicles in which the Bible says, and do we understand the times? When you and I recognize that when by reason of time, you remember that? You ought to be teachers. Or go to the book of James, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, that we'll go into such a city and we'll continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know what shall be on the morrow. Well, what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he'd be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. With a lift of a chin, a trace of a grin, without any doubting or quitting, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done. He did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a trace of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. Thank you very much. May God bless you.